One and two on Davis. Watson really taking his time. High fly ball to right. Back on it. Top it up. Back it goes. And it's gone. It just got out. On a broken bat, Chris Davis hits a home run. How strong is he?
Welcome to the Exit Velocity Baseball Podcast. I'm your host, Brent. This evening, I have Zach with me. How we doing?
I'm doing good, man. It's been a while. How's everything on your end?
Good. I mean, we got baseball on TV. It feels good to watch it. And most of the players and teams are staying healthy, even though we had a little outbreak. So, and then that is your New York Mets.
I was going to say, at least your team is playing, but my team is currently not playing for the foreseeable future. Hopefully everybody's healthy. Everybody's asymptomatic. And hopefully we'll be resuming baseball for the Mets and the Yanks, hopefully relatively soon. But yeah, it's just been a crazy few days, but on to better things. We got another player interview tonight. Really looking forward to this. Brent, you can introduce him.
Yes, we have Grayson Rodriguez, one of the top pitching prospects in baseball with the Baltimore Orioles. He's currently ranked 39th on the MLB.com top 100 list, and he was the 11th overall pick in the 2018 draft out of Texas. How we doing, Grayson?
Hey, man, we're good. Thank y'all for having me on.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. So our first question that we've been asking the guests that we've had on our show is, when did you fall in love with baseball and knew you could do this for a living?
I'd have to say back to an early age, you know, around T-ball. I think I started playing T-ball when I was about 4 or 5 years old. And, you know, just from being a little kid, you know, putting the ball on the tee and having that bat in your hand and just seeing how far you could hit it, that was – it's just something that I've always loved to do. And, you know, that sparked my interest for the game of baseball.
Nice. Yeah, I know that you committed to Texas A&M and actually probably would end up playing with Jordan Westberg, who is also with the Baltimore Orioles. What was your draft day experience like?
It was a very stressful experience. We had some of my close friends and family over to our house, and we were on our back porch watching it. And the power actually went out for the first couple picks, and we all kind of freaked out there for a little bit, but it was able to come back on. We were able to get the draft back up on the screen, and being the 11th selection, I mean, it didn't take all that long, but, you know, it just seemed like hours. And, I was happy I was able to, you know, celebrate it with my friends and family. And, you know, I mean, it was just a great day.
Very nice. So my question to you is, I know they moved the draft rounds from 40 down to 5, and watching the draft this year on ESPN, it almost felt like a completely different vibe. It almost felt like an NFL type draft because there was only 5 rounds. What are your thoughts on them moving that from 40 to 5, and what kind of players it'll affect that used to get drafted in later rounds that might not get picked anymore?
Yeah. It's definitely different. There's a lot of guys in the big leagues now, you know, that are superstars that have been low round draft guys. Mm-hmm. You know, there's just a lot of great stories out there and of who you hear from about, you know, guys getting picked a little bit later in the draft. And, you know, really it's, I guess some guys are really getting shorted out that definitely would have been picked in those rounds this year and, you know, have gotten their shot.
Definitely. I think one of the big questions that I think is on a lot of baseball fans' minds right now is really what the day-to-day life is right now during this pandemic. I know that you're a part of the Orioles alternate camp over in the AA affiliate in Maryland. And I guess maybe if you could just kind of take us through what the day-to-day life is, maybe some of the protocols that you guys are going through day in and day out. Are you guys playing inter-squad games? Like, how is all that working down there for you guys at the alternate site?
Yeah, so we have a lot of protocols, you know, set for us. And, just kind of try to stay in your hotel room as much as you can when you're away from the field. You know, don't go out to eat, stuff like that. Obviously you can go get groceries or go get the necessities, but really they kind of want us to stick in the hotel room, by ourselves. They don't want us hanging out with other of our teammates while we're away from the field. And, you know, I mean, really just trying to just trying to separate ourselves from everybody else. And, you know, when we show up to the field every day, whether we're testing or not that day, we have spit tests we have to do, like a little intake screening. You know, they take our temperatures. We have to fill out papers of if we have any symptoms and, you know, stuff like that. And in the locker room, the lockers are all spaced out. You know, there's everything set up to maintain a six feet distance from one another. You know, masks at all times when you're inside. And, you know, except for when you go out on the field, then you can take those off. But I mean, even still, some guys wear them out there. And, you know, just really, really making sure you use hand sanitizer, washing your hands pretty commonly, and, you know, just a lot of basic stuff.
This is just like unprecedented times here. This is just unheard of. I mean, is it taking a mental effect on players? Like, I mean, you guys must be going crazy, like staying in your rooms all the time. I'm assuming there's a lot of takeout food, video games. I mean, how are you guys staying busy during these times?
Yeah, so, you know, I brought my PlayStation with me, and so that's been keeping me busy. And, you know, I like to do a few crossword puzzles every now and then. That's something I've picked up new since being stuck in this hotel room. And, you know, that's kept me busy as well. And, you know, reading magazines or whatever, you know, just staying on my phone, just doing everything I can, you know, just try to pass the time.
Maybe read a nice book or two, just stuff that you wouldn't think players would be doing every night, but now it's kind of become the norm. I'm curious, we were talking before, like the Mets, I'm a Mets fan. They just had a breakout on their team, one player and one coach. And then I think some of the players that were hanging around the player that did test positive, had to hang back in Miami. I'm curious, like, do you need to let the team know, the players that you are hanging around with, if you guys are kind of hanging around after practice and whatnot, or is everybody really just kind of isolated to themselves at this point?
You know, I mean, we do see each other, sometimes, you know, whether it's in the parking lot or, you know, whatever. But yeah, I mean, just that reason alone, that's why they're trying to keep us apart, because in case somebody does test positive, you know, you want to be able to, you know, not catch it from them or let it spread. And, you know, I mean, it's just, you know, this time that we're in is just so crazy, you know, but, you know, just kind of doing everything we can just to stay away from each other.
Yeah, well, that's a smart way to go about it. So obviously the Orioles here, they have quite a bit of talent in the farm system right now. You've got, other than yourself, you got guys like D.L. Hall, Dean Kramer, Mike Bauman, Zach Lowther. You got Adley Rutschman and Yusnel Diaz, your first round pick of 2020, Heston Kerstad. I mean, you guys have a huge talented group of players there. I'm just curious how excited you are for this next wave of talent, and what do you think we can baseball fans can expect from the Orioles in the next few years here?
Yeah, man, it's an exciting time to be an Orioles fan, no doubt. You know, we got a lot of good dudes down here on the farm, and you know, just a lot of guys that are going to be great big leaguers. And you know, it's just a matter of time before we, you know, we get our shot. And you know, I think we'll have, you know, I think there'll be a lot of success out of this group that comes up here in the next couple of years. And you know, I'm just excited to hopefully be a part of it.
Have you had a chance to throw? I don't know if you've played with Adley Rutschman yet. Have you guys been at the same? I know you were in A-ball last year. Did you play with him last year?
Yeah, so I was able to throw to him for three starts there at the end of the year. He started in rookie ball in Florida, mm-hmm. and then was able to make his way up to low A. And I was able to throw to him there at the end of the season, two regular season starts and one playoff start. And, you know, especially being here at the alternate camp as well, you know, I've been able to throw to him a lot too. You know, I threw a bullpen today and he was my catcher. And so just being able to build a nice relationship with him, you know, I mean, pitcher-catcher relationships are very important. And, you know, we're able to work on that.
Yeah, I know the MLB right now is on like this little streak of calling up top prospects. Sixto Sanchez with the Marlins is coming up. a guy with the Baltimore Orioles, Ryan Mountcastle, just got called up today as well. Would you say if they call, phone rings, you're ready to roll?
Oh, 100%. You know, I'd say 110%. But, you know, like I said, I've been ready. I've been ready since the day I was born. You know, just, and that's completely out of my hands. And, you know, I'm not going to worry about it. And when the time comes, whether it be this year, next year, you know, whenever. But, yeah, whenever that phone rings, I'll be ready.
Very nice. Yeah, I know the Orioles actually been playing pretty good. Ronaldo Nunez has been hitting the ball well, one of the hottest hitters in baseball. But going more to your pitch mix, what is your pitching arsenal that you currently have?
So I throw a four-seam fastball, a knuckle curve, throw a slider, circle changeup, and a cutter.
What out of those pitches, what would you say is your best?
Right now, I'd say the changeup. You know, it's a pitch that I've developed here in the last year. Last spring training is when I started throwing it and had a big bunch of success last year with it. And it was a huge weapon for me, you know, to be able to throw it to left-handed hitters and, you know, both right-handed hitters towards the end of the year and in the beginning of this year. And but, you know, I mean, really, it ultimately depends on the given night or the given start. You know, I mean, your curveball might be better than your slider one day or vice versa. So, I mean, just, you know, whatever's rolling that night the best, you know, that's what we're working with.
Very nice. Yeah. So I know a lot of players in the league, they all have their strengths. I mean, Ronald Acuna, Juan Soto, I mean, they're 20-year-old kids that get called up, make massive impacts for their team. But they, I mean, they also have weaknesses. Ronald Acuna could work on his plate discipline a little bit more. For yourself, what would you say that is your biggest weakness as a pitcher that you want to work on?
You know, I think for every pitcher, you know, being able to locate, that's always a thing. You know, you can never be too perfect with that. And, you know, I think for a lot of guys that throw hard, you know, location's always something that comes second. And, you know, that's my focus, just to be able to throw the fastball where I want it. My secondary pitches, you know, to just be able to locate them more consistently and, you know, fine tune what I need to do with that.
I know you said you brought your PlayStation with you to your hotel. Do you have MLB The Show?
I do. I like to play that online. You know, me and a couple of my buddies, we go at it. So
nice. So who's your go-to pitcher? I know I love playing with Scherzer, but who's your go-to?
I'd have to say the 99 Kluber card. You know, that's a pretty good, that's a card that was released earlier in the game. And it's still my number one to this date.
Do they have a Grayson Rodriguez futures card or anything in the game yet?
I don't believe so. Not yet, I think.
That would be pretty cool playing with yourself.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
Some of those future cards are just insane. Michael Kopech card, there's a 6-0 Sanchez card. It'll be pretty cool. Maybe we'll have to send a tweet out to MLB The Show to get you in there.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
All right, so before we wrap things up, we usually like to ask our guests some rapid-fire questions, just some quick answers. Hopefully that is all right with you. And let's kind of just dive right into it. Is there a player that you've played with or against in the minor leagues that you just think is really going to be special at the MLB level?
You know, I've faced a lot of guys this past year. You know, early in the season, I'd faced Alec Bohm. You know, I faced him when he was in low A with the Lakewood Blue Claws. And then I was able to face him in the futures game. And, you know, I mean, he's just, you know, he's a big guy, big hitter. That's got a good approach. You know, he controls the strike zone well, and, you know, definitely a tough guy to pitch to.
He looks great so far too. He's one of the recent call-ups. So that's very interesting stuff there. Who's the toughest hitter that you faced in the minor leagues? Is Bohm make that list, or is there someone else?
Yeah, I mean, you could say that. Or, you know, just any of them, any guys, you know, on some nights, you know, some guys you just run into that are just red hot, you know, and you can't really find a way to get them out. But, you know, to me personally, I don't think there's really anybody that stood out too much.
Mm-hmm. Is there a hitter that you are excited to face at the big league level?
you know, probably just some of those veterans that are up there, you know, whether, and I know the Yankees have a lot of them with Aaron Judge and Stanton and, you know, a lot of those big heavy power hitters. And, you know, I think that'll be really fun to get to do one day.
Hopefully by the time you get up there, they'll both be healthy and on the field. And I know they've been banged up quite a bit lately. I'm curious, is there a pitcher that you've kind of modeled your game after growing up?
You know, really, growing up, I watched a lot of different pitchers. You know, at an early age, I was a big fan of Roger Clemens and Andy Pettit, Roy Oswalt, when they were all with the Houston Astros. And me being from Texas, you know, being able to see that. And, you know, Cliff Lee's another one. When he had that short little stint there with the Rangers towards the end of his career, you know, that was a really fun guy for me to watch. And, you know, Yu Darvish and Cole Hamels as I got a little bit older with the Rangers. And, you know, just seeing how all those different pitchers are able to work and, you know, how they use their stuff. You know, I mean, ultimately, I'm trying to combine a lot of those together and make it into one.
Brian, you had a good comp for him. Do you want to tell him?
Yeah, I mean, just by watching, looking at your pitch mix, I've not found a season in your entire career in less than like seventh or eighth grade that you've ever had an ERA of +3. It's always been under 3, unless maybe in seventh or eighth grade you got hit up a couple times.
If so, I don't really remember, but I'm sure there's a couple times somewhere in there I got banged up. But you know, you'd have to go way back or, you know, dig somewhere to find those stats.
Yeah, but the guy we've been talking to you on previous shows that I'd comp you to is the late and great Jose Fernandez with the Miami Marlins. I think that you could be that great. Just by what I've seen on video, the pitch mix that you have, and you also touch up to 97 with that fastball. I mean, with being in the AL East too, facing teams like the Yankees, the Rays, what kind of feeling are you going to have when you're in Yankee Stadium, maybe in the playoffs, and 1-2-3 is going to be Aaron Hicks, Giancarlo Stanton, Aaron Judge? What kind of mindset are you going to have in that situation?
You know, just a bulldog mindset. You know, it really doesn't matter who's up at the plate or in the batter's box. You know, you just got to go after them, attack, you know, play to your game. You know, I mean, that'll be a really special moment when it happens. And, you know, I can't wait for it. But, just to treat it like any other situation, you know, whether it be in the minor leagues, in the big leagues, you know, wherever, you know, just to treat it all the same.
Yeah, off the top of my head, I don't know of any pitching prospect that has been called up at the age of 20 years old. I mean, a lot of guys will get called up and get moved to the bullpen, but I think as yourself being with the Baltimore Orioles, you probably get called up and be put right in the Orioles rotation and be maybe a number 2 or 3 guy. Have you worked with like Alex Cobb yet, who's had experience in the big leagues with like the Rays and now with the Orioles?
I have not, you know, I haven't gotten to meet him yet, but I've been able to meet and talk to John Means, you know, just a fantastic guy, you know, off the field and on the field. Last year, he was an all-star and had a great year for the Orioles. And, you know, just kind of being able to hang around him for a little bit, you know, watch his bullpens and stuff like that. And just to see how he goes about his business. And, you know, I mean, that's been pretty special. And, you know, you can learn a lot from him. You know, I mean, he's got a great story on how he made it. And, you know, I mean, just an excellent guy, just an excellent person.
Yeah, we had we did a previous episode. We did an Orioles preview actually with Alex Fast over at Pitcher List, and we were hyping you up, and that's when Brent dropped the Jose Fernandez comp. So we were excited to talk about you back then, and we're having a great time talking to you now. Just a few other things, just to kind of get to know you a little bit. We're curious, what other type of things do you like to do in your downtime? We may have done a little bit of stalking on your Instagram. It looks like you're a big hunter. What other kind of stuff are you into?
Yeah, I mean, I like being outside. You know, being outside, being outdoors is one of my favorite things to do, whether it's hunting, fishing, you know, golfing, doing whatever. You know, I hate being stuck inside. And, you know, I mean, for the baseball off season is there in the majority of hunting season. And, you know, hunting's it's something I've done ever since I was a little kid. You know, my uncle introduced me to hunting at an early age. And, you know, I mean, I kind of fell in love with it. You know, I mean, You know, a lot of people say hunting is about killing, and really it's just, it's about, you know, just being outside, being with friends and family. And, you know, it's the sport of a chase, you know, it's a really tough thing to do. And, you know, I like doing things that are difficult, and hunting mm-hmm. is definitely a difficult thing to do. And, you know, it's just one of my favorite things to do because of it. You know, it's just something to keep you outside and, you know, to make memories.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up in central Minnesota, small town, kind of like, I mean, as yourself in Texas, and your heart, when you're in the deer stand and a deer walks up, it's like a different feeling. They call it like buck fever, but it's a different feeling that you don't experience anywhere else, even in like difficult situations, wherever. It's just, it's interesting. I mean, have you been up to Minnesota?
No, I have not. You know, Minnesota might be too cold for me. So, you know, I think I'll stay down in Texas. You know, our winters seem to get cold, and I don't even want to experience what y'all go through up there. So
just wait till you get called up and you're going to Minnesota and all these other cold places.
Yeah.
You mentioned a lot of the Texas ballparks that you've been to, guys that you've seen over with the Rangers and Astros. We usually like to ask, what's your favorite ballpark that you've been to, and have you been to the new Texas Rangers ballpark?
My favorite ballpark that I've ever been to would have to be Rangers ballpark in Arlington, the old stadium. Now it's mm-hmm. old, but you know, I mean, that was just a beautiful park. You know, I grew up, you know, going to those games, and with the big grandstand and right, you know, that was its special little detail about that place. But, you know, I mean, it was just a beautiful stadium, and, I'm sad that they, you know, moved away from it, but I had not gotten a chance to go to Globe Life Field, and, you know, hopefully my first time there will be playing against the Rangers.
Yeah, that would be a pretty cool moment for you. One last question. Curious, what is your go-to pregame meal before you pitch?
You know, really it changes. You know, whether if it's Chipotle or Chick-fil-A or anything else. Usually it's if I had a good start the last time, I'll eat that exact same thing before that start. And if that start doesn't go how I want it, then I'll change what I eat before the next start. And so, you know, I mean, it can just vary. It also depends on where you're at too. So, but yeah, I definitely say either Chipotle or Chick-fil-A.
Those are two good choices. So nothing really ever on the healthy side of caution, more just the fast food type of food before a game.
No.
I'd be very nervous to do that.
Well, usually I eat pretty healthy. You know, I'm always eating pretty healthy. That's one thing I like to do. And, you know, Chipotle can be unhealthy depending on how you order them, but you know, you're able to get a lot of healthy options too. And you know, Chick-fil-A, you know, they've got a lot of grilled stuff, and you know, I mean, it's just good. It's good light food to eat before a start.
Good stuff. Well, now I'm hungry. Brent, do you have anything else for him?
Yeah, I was gonna ask. I know you went to high school in Texas. Texas is known as a football state. Did you play basketball or football in high school, or did you just stick to baseball?
No, so my last year to play basketball was seventh grade. You know, my dad told me we were going to focus on baseball, and you know, my high school, you know, I mean, it's really a baseball school. We actually don't have football, and you know, a lot of people freak out, you know,
whoa,
from being from Texas and not having football. But you know, I really like to think of my high school as a pure baseball school, and we were able to have a middle school baseball program, which a lot of places don't have. And you know, we were, you know, baseball's a real big thing there. In 2017, we won state, and, you know, had multiple deep playoff runs. And, you know, since just being in middle school, you know, we were going to focus on baseball.
Very nice.
Is there any other big names that have kind of come out of that baseball program in your town?
There's been some guys drafted into pro ball and stuff like that, but I don't think no big leaguer yet. So maybe I'll be the first.
Yep, get your jersey, get all that right in the high school. When you walk in, you go visit next time, you'll have your whole trophy case.
That's right. That's right.
Nice. Yeah, well, we appreciate you joining us this evening, Grayson. We will definitely be following you throughout the year. You're one of my favorite guys to watch. And once I see that call-up come through on ESPN, I'll be tuning into that game.
Hey, I hope so. I hope it comes soon.
Best of luck, Grayson, and thank you for joining us tonight. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Thank y'all for having me on.